Those of us that are from that part of the world, we came here as refugees. In fact, Touch and Deborah Keel, same thing, running through the jungles to be able to come to America. I left there when I was 5 years old, came to America, and I was about 7 years old. That was back in 1980, so it was a little bit long ago. I got a guest here, Denise, same situation as well. Of course, her mom was pregnant with her. She can correct the story later, but from what I've heard, her mom was pregnant with her, running through the jungles, and she was actually born in Thailand, refugee camp. And then, of course, we all came to America. The majority of us landed in Long Beach, somewhere around in the early 1980s. And my pastor, Joe Esposito, and originally, after he had graduated from Bible college, he wanted to become a missionary to Cambodia. And at that time, the Lord closed the door on missionaries to go to Cambodia. And he came and he planted Cambodian Baptist Church in Long Beach. He found out that Long Beach has more Cambodians and Lao people than anywhere outside of Cambodia itself. And I'm glad he came and planted a Cambodian Baptist Church in August of 1988. And my wife was invited to come to church by Deborah Keo, which was her cousin, and when the church was like 2 years old, back in 1990. And she came to church. She saw a movie called Left Behind. And she got scared about being raptured. Boy, we're getting closer, aren't we? We are living in some troublous time, some perilous times. And so she got scared, and someone led her to the Lord. And thank God for that. And 2 years after that, I was a senior in high school. I was, you know, running track cross country for Wilson High School there in Long Beach, and I needed something else. Typically, I would rest on a Friday night, trying to rest to, you know, from, I have a track meet on Saturday morning, and cross country and track, every Saturday morning, I would have some type of meet. But that April of 92, track was over. I don't need to rest anymore. So my unsaved Lao friend, invited me to come to church. Hey, there's a basketball league at Cambodian Baptist Church. You want to go play basketball? I go, sure, why not? Let's go. I'm thinking, who knows, I might find my future wife there one day. And I came to church, and of course, the rule was this. You have to, you know, listen and hear the pastor teach and preach for 10, 15 minutes. I go, I'll put up with it as long as I get to play basketball. And I heard the gospel again. And I had been going to church as a kid, you know, from elementary to junior high, and I stopped going to church in high school. You know, I track and cross country got in the way. But I had, I heard the gospel again, I go, oh, nah, I'm all right. I'm Asian. I'm Buddhist. I'll be a Buddhist just like everyone else. And, you know, I kept on coming to church, and I heard the gospel. The Holy Spirit just pricked in my heart, you know. And then by the time that I am now a freshman attending Long Beach City College, and I'm running track and cross country for them, and on September 13th, Pastor, of 92, Pastor Joel preached on Revelation chapter 20, verse number 14 and verse number 15. It says that, "And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into that lake of fire." Now, growing up, being Lao, Dan, I'm not sure your mom and dad ever say this to you or not, but mom and dad would say this to me, "Luke, ba phang kuom kong pa kong me, Luke si tai pai mot lok." I'll translate that for you. It means that a child that does not obey his mom and dad will die and go to hell one day. Boy, I got scared when I heard that. When Pastor Joe preached on that, I go, I know I'm not good enough to make it to heaven on my own. on that Sunday morning, Pastor Joe says, "If you didn't want to hear this morning, you are not 100% sure that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven." And of course, I raised my hand, and Brother Trent Pollock, who went home to be with the Lord last year, took me aside and led me to Christ. Amen. It's been 30 years now. Praise the Lord. I thank God for my salvation, been born again. I'm a child of God. My name is written in the book of life. I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to go to heaven or hell. I know for sure. I know where I'm going. I am secured in God's right hand. Amen. It's not upon my good works or my good deeds, but because of God's goodness, and I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can never lose my salvation. And because of that, here's the thing, you guys. I'm going to live for Him. Just say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And thank God for that. So let's go ahead and turn our Bible to Acts chapter 1, number 8. We're going to go to the Great Commission here this evening. Thank you, church, again, for having me. Thank you for America for accepting us to come to America. You know, the gospel could not get to where we were at that particular time. So what God did, the next best thing, to bring us here to America. And America will always have a place in my heart. Shall we all stand here for a reading of God's word? And we're going to take a look at verse number 8. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power. By the way, we need God's power upon our life, right? And after that, a Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. That word both means simultaneously or at the same time. While we could be doing the work of the Lord in Jerusalem, it could be also be done at the same time in all of Judea and in Samaria, as well as the uttermost part of the earth. And let us go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Father, Lord, we love you, Lord. Lord, we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. And Lord, you proved it, Lord, by dying on the cross for us, Lord, 2,000 years ago. And anyone that will put your faith and trust in you, Lord, can have that gift of everlasting life as well, Lord. We don't have to worry about it. It is so easy, Lord, to get saved. And Lord, we need to take the gospel, Lord, out into the uttermost parts of the world where the majority of the people out there do not even know you as their personal Savior, let alone some of them have not even heard of the name Jesus Christ. Lord, but help the local church do our part into reaching the world, Lord, for you. We love you, Lord. Meet with us tonight, Father. We ask, Lord, all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, baby. See, I tell people this, okay? I heard this story from one of our Lao pastors here in America. He said, those of us that are refugees, we came here to America. In order to come to America, we have to have a sponsor. No sponsor, no America. So those of us that run through the jungles and, you know, where we lived, even though I'm Lao, I was born in Cambodia, same province as my wife, same province as Touch Kio, and same province as Dani, our family. We're all born there in the same province. So we live very close to the Thailand refugee camps. And of course, when I was about 2 years old, the communists took over the country of Cambodia. And these guys ruled for about 2 years. And, 3 years, actually, from 75 to about 78. They say they killed off anywhere from about 1.6 to about 3 million of its own people through just execution, starvation, disease, and things of that nature. And Pastor, I'm not sure if two told you this or not, but they killed off anyone that had any type of education. They did not want any opposition or anyone to go up against. And they would kill off anyone that, and they would feel the palm of your hands. It was soft. More than likely, you were educated. But if it was rough, you were out working out in the rice farm and doing labor work, and more than likely, you were uneducated, so they would leave you alone, but they would kill off anyone else. And the people that wear glasses, they think the word smart also. Boy, I wish that was true, amen. people that wear glasses, they kill you off as well because they think that you're educated. So anywhere from about 1.6 to 3.1 million of his own people, they killed off. Of course, my wife's dad, you know, he was in the opposition army. And, he survived for a little bit, and he was out in the slave labor camp and things of that nature. And her mom and her older brother and says, hey, you got to leave. They're going to come. They're going to find out who you are. You're an ex-soldier. And dad, no, I don't want to leave you guys. They're not going to find out about me. And so sure enough, they came over one day and dragged him away, and they tortured him before they finally executed him. 3.1. Think about that, you guys, and just communism. Just to think that here in America that we would welcome that, even here in America, it's just, it is amazing to see what is going on here within the last two, three years. And yeah, I've come back to America within 2 years. I look around and go, wow, it's amazing to see what has come just even in recent days. But anyways, and after, you know, about 3 years of the communist ruling over Cambodia, we finally, you know, tried to make an escape. I was about 5 years old at this time. And so, and these guys had set up landmines along the way to make sure that we did not try to escape out and doing the best that they can. Of course, the Vietnamese came in at this time, I don't know, for whatever reason, trying to take over the country. But the village where we lived in was about anywhere from about 15 to 20 miles to the nearest Thailand refugee camp. And my mom and dad had made all of us, let's try to escape, let's try to get out of here. And being 5 years old, I did not want to walk all that distance. I whined and cried and complained a lot, you know, being a little five-year-old kid. And so my mom and dad paid someone to carry me some of the distance out. And when they heard gunshots going off, the guy who was carrying me took off one direction while my family took off a different direction. And this guy, I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he was thinking, hey, this kid is too heavy or whatever. He was like, he left me behind. And I'm running and chasing and screaming after him, calling for my mom and for my dad. And I run, grass is real thick, fall down, get up, run, fall down, get up. My brain passes just shut down on me. And I sat down there and cried and cried and cried. But thank God somebody else also was going that same direction as him, saw him without me. He said, hey, where's that kid? He's back there. That other man, he came back and he got me. And I stayed with him for about 2 days before he got reunited back with my family, made it across the border into Thailand. I thank God for that. Amen. I thank God so much. Wow. To think about what God has allowed us to go through and be able to come here to America. And even more important than that, to get born again. Amen. And to have a home prepared for us. You know, in John chapter 14 tells us that he's preparing a mansion for you and for me. Even right now, he is still preparing a mansion for you and for me. And once that mansion gets done, you guys, that trumpet is going to sound. And we need to do all we can to take that gospel into the uttermost parts of the world. And so, let's see here. You know, 2 Timothy 2:2 says, Paul's talking to his young Timothy, his young preacher boy, Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me, he said, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. If we're going to get the work done, we've got to be able to train up preacher boys out there. There's no way in the world that I can get the job done in Laos. We've got to be able to multiply ourselves, you know. Well, one of the prayer requests that I got up there was for us to be able to build a dormitory, a house church dormitory, to be able to train up some preacher boys. And we've got that done already. During the COVID lockdown, our guys had nothing else to do. So Kong and his wife and the Bible college students, they were, here's my project manager, 24 years old project manager, able to get that done in about 3.5 months. No regulations in Laos, amen? And so praise the Lord for that. And so, guys, here's the thing. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The great Jim Elliot says that. You know, we're not going to go through all this. I believe I've got the wrong slide that I gave you guys here. Anyway, here's what I want to get at. As of right now, you guys, the world's population is inching close to 8 billion people. That's a lot of people that we are responsible for. The early days church, when Christ gave the command to the early days church there, I don't know how big of the world's population, but I'm sure it's a lot less than what it is today. But those guys, they did their job. They fulfilled their response. In fact, the Bible says that they turned the world upside down. When you come to Acts chapter number 7, they turned the world upside down for Christ. They did their job. They did what they were supposed to do. They reached out into the uttermost parts of the world, starting off in their Jerusalem, okay? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Christ gives them this commission, but they were comfortable just staying there in Jerusalem, right? But it did not really take until Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, when persecution came, when Saul started persecuting them, right? Then they start to spread out. And then in Acts chapter 8, they went out to their Samaria. Boy, our Samaria is pretty much people that speaks a different language than us, right? A different culture from us. Even people, can you imagine when Christ tells them, what, you want us to go reach the Samaritans? The people we consider the dogs? You want us to go out and reach them? The people that speaks a different language than us? Can you imagine but when Christ gives a command, we ought to obey, right? Of course, if Philip goes out there, he goes from village to village to village, preaching and having revival, and all of a sudden, hey, Philip, go ahead and stop what you're doing. I want you to go into a desert place. I want you to go, and I got someone that I want you to meet out there. Lo and behold, this Ethiopian eunuch, he's reading the book of Isaiah. You know, in today's term, hey, dude, you understand what you're reading? He goes, how can I unless a man should guide me, right? He goes up there on that stagecoach with the old, expounding him the scriptures, and he says, hey, what does it hinder me to get baptized? If thou believe with all thine heart, thou mayest, right? And then you know the story. He gets baptized, and he goes on his way. Philip goes back and have a revival meeting all over again. That's reaching our Samaria right there for the Lord Jesus Christ. But hey, look, those guys have done their job. Now the ball is passed on down to us. Look, the government, look, this great commission was not given to the government. It was not given to the school, but it's given to the institution of the local church. It is our job and our responsibility to reach as many people as we possibly can with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad someone brought the gospel to me. I'm sorry to get emotional. But I'm glad when I was a rebellious child that God still loved me. They were willing to save me. Even though I rejected him, I have all kinds of excuses. But he loved me still. And God saved me. He wrote my name in the book of life. I got born again, amen? The Holy Spirit will live in me forever, forever, forever and ever. And I will always be his child. And when this, you know, this body, soul departs out of this body, you know, it's going to go to live up with his Heavenly Father forever. I'm thankful for that. But now, I just want to say thank you, Lord. So for the last 30 years, I told the Lord, you know, because you saved me, I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not the most talented, the most smartest person, but I want to do all that I can to live for you as best I possibly can. And I thank God for my Savior and what he's done. So we have a huge task, an unsurmountable task, you guys, of reaching this world. And it starts here in our Jerusalem. This is your Jerusalem. This is your responsibility to reach your Jerusalem. I'm not here. You guys are here, right? Let's continue to reach your Jerusalem. But don't just stop there. And to your Judea as well. And I don't know what your Judea could possibly, maybe the Tri-Cities or the outskirts, maybe the whole state of Washington, right? And then, of course, all at the same time, to the uttermost parts of the world. When you guys have, you know, Brother Derek Thomas, who's been to Laos about three times, has come to visit us in Laos about three times already, you know. And they say that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sun never sets on the gospel, right? Because somewhere, someplace, at some time, the gospel is being preached. and someone's getting saved. So really, within a 24-hour, someone is actually getting saved somewhere. There's daylight somewhere. So praise the Lord for that. Hey, church, it is our responsibility to continue to reach the world for Him. The part of the world where I come from, the 1040 window, you see that little red, that window right there, the 1040 window right there, from Northern Africa to the Middle East to all throughout Asia right there. That place right there is about 5.2 billion people. More people live there than live outside of there. Almost, look, about 60% of the world's population live right there. And of that, and 60% of that people, the population there, so about 3 billion of them are unreached people. That's a lot, you guys. That is a lot of people right there. Who lives there? The Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the non-religious people. They call it the resistant belt. Why is it called the resistant belt? Because they want to have nothing to do with Christ, Jesus Christ, or Christianity. What happened was that God saw that this was happening. This is just my belief. I don't have a Bible verse to back it up, but it's my belief that God, look, since I cannot get the gospel into that part of the world, what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring those people over here to America where the gospel is plenteous. That's what I'm going to do for them. By the way, yes, it was a war-torn place where we escaped out from. But I also want to thank God that God brought me here to America just as a 7-year-old boy 42 years ago. And to grow up here, even though I resisted Him for many years until I was 19 years old. But I thank God for His mercy and His patience and His grace upon our life. Right there, you guys. I'm not sure if two told you or not. One of our guys that they're in Cambodia, 100% of the Muslims that live in Cambodia, at one point, they were all Muslims. Until Touch Keo and our team, Dave Bort, went to and was able to witness to a young man by the name of Kasal, the very first Muslim to ever get saved, as far as to our knowledge, to ever get saved. And he led his brother, Vanak, to the Lord. And they led their younger brother, San and Man, to the Lord. And now all four of these young guys are all preachers of the gospel. They go out and reach into the Muslim groups. They go in there, and sometimes they'll go into these villages, and they're mad because people were getting saved, and they've got their sticks and knives and guns out. Whoa, it's like, I've never seen this in Cambodia. They're waiting for these preachers to come and trying to hurt them. The police are trying to intervene. He goes, guys, don't come in here. We're not always going to be around. We're not always going to be here to protect you guys. If you guys go come back into this village, you guys going in at your own risk. You hear stories of them in Cambodia where their mom, okay, their dad was the chief of the village, and the dad says to the mom, if you do not come back to Islam, I'm going to divorce you and marry a younger woman. She goes, you know, I'm not going to reject my Savior. I'm not going to give up on Him. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God now. I found the truth. And it's not Allah. It's Jesus Christ. And sure enough, his dad divorced his mom and remarried. And, if, you know, he's got half-brothers and sisters now. But this is what they go through. And some of our people there in Laos, especially the tribal group called the Hmong group, when they get saved, you know how they get saved? When they bring their idols together, and they have a bonfire, man. And then they get baptized. And so a lot of work still needs to be done, you guys, but they need to have a chance to hear the gospel. They need to hear, hey, look, you don't need your good works. You don't need to do your bun. You don't need to do your merits. Jesus Christ came down from heaven to earth. You know, He's born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and He died. And not only did he die, you know, they buried him, but not only that, but on the third day, he came back alive, amen? He conquered death. You don't need your religion. Jesus Christ has paid for your sins. All you have to do is put your faith. All you have to do is believe with your heart and confess him with your mouth. And you call upon him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Boy, isn't that good? So this part of the world right here, you guys, is a needy place. I'll be honest with you, Pastor, I did not want to go back. I loved it here in America. My family think I'm crazy. Why would you go back? One of my aunt came to visit me in Laos. She goes, Kumle, how could you put your wife and your children through this? It's hot. It's humid. The people are crazy over here. They don't know how to drive. It's dirty. It smells. It's, you know, you don't have the freedom you have in America. She's unsaved, so I don't expect her to understand. I didn't say anything and didn't want to disrespect her or anything like that. But, hey, but when God calls you, and I try to put it off and put it off and put it off for a long time until one day I go, Lord, I can't put it off. I'll go back, Lord, I'll go back. I know you want what's best for me. I remember telling my wife about a month later. She goes, no, I can't get that memory out of my head. As a five-year-old girl, how when they came and they, you know, tortured my dad, I can't get it out of my head. I go, why don't you pray about it? About a month later, she came back and said, you know, I'll go. I'll follow you wherever you go. We're going to do this together. And so, by the way, when I went over and told my pastor, the next day, Tajkio did the same thing, not knowing that we did that. He came to me after Saturday prayer meeting. He goes, yes, pastor said there was someone that came in here yesterday and told him he would surrender and go back to Cambodia. I go, Doc, you know who that is? I go, it was me. You did that also? I go, praise the Lord. We're going to be working together. Little did I know that I would be going to Laos and him and the team would be going to Cambodia. And so, let's go on. Population of Laos, we're going to, here you guys, this. So what we did here is we started an English school, obviously. I showed on the video. My wife there in green, I don't know which is the laser. This is, so, this one? Okay, this one? Okay, my wife right there. Technology, I'm so old school, right there, and the guy right behind her is a guy named Joy, who's one of the first ones to get saved in our English school, 18 years old at that point, and we started school in 2012, and he's one of these guys, and we witnessed him. I go, which president is Jesus Christ? I go, boy, we got to start from the very beginning, is he? Is he from America, Jesus Christ? Yes, Jesus Christ is from America. No, he's from the continent of Asia, all right? So really, the gospel really did not go into Europe until the Apostle Paul took the gospel to Philippi, the very first city in Europe where Lydia gets saved, the demon-possessed girl gets saved, and that Philippian jailer gets saved, and they started the very first church there in Europe. And so his mom is actually the chief of the village where we are. And so, of course, they're all unsaved, you know, and this young man, Nick, got saved as well. And so let's go to the next one. Here's all of our, not all, but some of our saved students. Of course, you got Julie there again. Here's Mr. Goliath right there. We started a volleyball league, and, you know, my pastor started a basketball league for us, but they don't play basketball over there. I figured, you know, let's start a volleyball league. And the first time I ever met, his name is Supan. I met him. We had an activity. So he got into one of our vehicles and never been in a car, at least on the inside, and threw up all over my vehicle. Welcome. And never know the guy. He was very apologetic, and he tried to clean up as best we can. And so we started this volleyball league, and he would come. And But we would have our, obviously, church on Sunday. And they, by the way, we feed them. These guys live about an hour and a half in the village, but they will come into the capital city to go through their school, their athletic schools and things of that nature. And they don't have anything to do on a Sunday. Hey, won't you guys come to church? And our people would pick them up, and we also feed them as well because mama's not around. And he would come, but he would not come inside the church building. Hey, won't you come inside? Wouldn't come inside, but he would keep on coming. When he finally came inside, and he heard the gospel, he's looking around, and he goes, man, that's a foreign religion. He says, and this is how they look at it. This is a foreign religion. He's looking around, wow, it's all Lao people. But why are they all believing a foreign religion? And he says, how can you guys betray your ancestors' religion? This is what's going through their mind. To us Asian is to be Lao, to be Thai, or to be Cambodian is to be Buddhist. To be Asian is to be Buddhist. If you're not Buddhist, you know, you're not Asian. That's how they, you know, that's how they think about it. And so they would look at me, even in Long Beach, they would look at me as a traitor. How can you betray your mom and dad? How can you disrespect your mom and your dad's religion? You're not, what, you're not Asian anymore? This is, and so he's looking around and he's going, man. But he would keep on coming to church. And I preached one Sunday morning. About 4 months later, he bowed down and received the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, amen. One of our young men, Jui, again, took him to my office, led him to Christ. This young man right here, Lun, he's a tribal group called the Kamuk, a total language that I do not understand at all. It's all, speaking in tongues to me. When they speak, it sounds like they just drop like some silverware or something, you know. But the good thing is they all speak the national language, which is Lao, which is the language I grew up speaking, you know. So, but he came down and to learn English about 16 hours north of where we are and ended up getting saved. Here's a young man named Kong and his wife Lily, been married about 4 or 5 years now. Kong, by the way, Kong's got a good friend by the name of King, amen? So we got King and Kong. So King's not in here, but now, he's from a tribal group called the Hmong. Again, it's another language that I have no idea what they're saying when they speak their language. But thank God they speak the national language. And he came to our English school, and I was able to lead him to the Lord as well. And, of course, his wife also came to our school. She was just a backslidden Christian. And come to find out, we had a church. She says, teacher, can I join you guys? Well, come on over, you know. And, you know, and then after I had led going to the Lord, and I started discipling. Here's a guy that was making $20 a week working for like an American place. Think about this, $80 a month he was making. And he would come to our English school, you know, and after I led him to the Lord, I'd start discipling him whatever time that we had left. By the way, this guy was, he was working like 60 hours a week. Think about that, 60 hours a week. $20 a week. And whatever time I disciple him, of course, going through salvation, make sure that he's saved and going to baptism, and, you know, the Trinity, the eternal security, and, you know. And he had a burden. When I taught on Hill, he had a burden to reach his own people. He go, teacher, on a Friday, I would like to go to my village. I want to tell my friends and my brother about God. And he went out there and was able to lead them to the Lord. And he came back again to the city. And on a Friday night, he will go back into the city again and led a guy named Tong Di to the Lord. That's a good name, man. That's my last name, by the way. And then he came back, would come back in the city. And on the third week, Gong said, are you going back into your village again? I go, yeah, sure. Can I go with you this time? And I got on that moped, you know, put on a helmet, hot and humid. An hour and a half, cross that ferry, pay our $2.50, go on a dirt road, saw his village. He's able to lead another friend. They were talking that Hmong language back and forth, tap, 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 back. Hey, can you guys speak Lao so at least I can understand what you guys are saying? You know, after a few minutes, he goes, teacher, here's what he said. He said, I want to become a Christian, but I cannot forsake my animist religion or my spirit. They worship spirits and, you know, and things of that. He goes, can I become a Christian? He says, can I become a Christian 95%? And the other 5%, I want to remain an animist, he said. I go, I think the Lord gave me this. I've never. He go, Ning, you like girls, right? I go, come on, teacher. Who does not like girls, huh? This is not America. He goes, Ning, since you like girls, well, think about this. If some girl likes you, she wants to marry you, but she says to you, Ning, I love you with 95% of my heart, and the other 5%, I'm going to save it for another man. Ning, what do you think? He looks at me, he starts looking at Kong, he goes, no, I want 100% of her heart. I'm not going to save, I'm not going to share her with anybody. See, Ning, that's how God is. God wants 100% of your heart. There's only one God in this world, and that's Jesus Christ. God is a very jealous God. He's not going to share his glory with anyone else. He's the one that created the heaven and the earth. There's no other God beside him. That's it. And they were talking back and forth in that Hmong language, and then Ning bowed down and received the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. That was back in 2016, and Kong has been going back, you know, for the last 6 years into his village. There's a church there now. And we start sending help, you know, guys like Supan and Chui and Lun and Lily, and even this guy, Lampan, there in the back, would go to this village and start helping out. Now there's a church there, there in the village. And since then, you know, Saul been led to the Lord. Mai's been led to the Lord. Of course, this is Kong's younger sister. They've got a village there. Both Mai and Saul, you know, led to the Lord. They're both in Bible college, and they're dating each other now. Amen. That's good news. And so, let me say this. Supan there, after he got saved, about a year later, mom and dad got saved. Older brother got saved. And then, during the pandemic, dad passed away, older brother passed away. But I thank God that the gospel got there on time for them, amen? Lily, again, during the pandemic, mom got saved back in 2017, but she passed away during the pandemic. But I thank God that the gospel got there on time for Lily's mom. Another one of our students is not in this picture, but he came to learn English back in 2017, and he got saved. And Gong was able to lead him to the Lord. And last year, again, during the pandemic, she had a kidney problem, died of kidney disease. No dialysis over there. Mom passed away like within 2 months. But the gospel got there on time for her. Praise the Lord for that. That's what we're all about, you guys. You know, I was talking to Brother Jerry Jones here. Well, shall it profit a man, right? If he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul, Christ says. There's nothing more important than being born again. That is the most precious thing out there. Here, are we able to play this at all? This from Kong and his wife, Lily, and a little message that they're giving to the churches here in America. Yes, sir. If you cannot, that's fine. We'll just go on to the next. Yes, sir.
Hello, everyone. My name is Gong and my wife, Lily. First of all, I would like to thank you, the church that sent missionary to Laos, like Pastor Kumuni. And now we have the Bible school, and there are 10 students, and also start 2 ministry. The first one is at Hinkana Village. And this have about 50 people join us every single week. And the second one is Tiny Day Village. And this have about 60 people every single week. And thank you so much for your love and care and prayer. We really appreciate that. May God bless you all. Bye-bye.
This young man right here, when he came to us, he already know how to speak Lao, Hmong, and Thai, and now he speaks English, 4 languages. His sister, you know, one of our missionaries to Cambodia, Adrian Torres, who's half Puerto Rican half Cambodian. His mom just passed away a couple days ago. He was missionary to Cambodia. He came to Laos looking for a wife. He called me up one day, Brother Kumi, I want to visit you. Come on over. Little did I know he was going to come check out one of our girls that was in our Bible college and was actually Gong's sister. They'd been married about 4 years, you know, took her back to Cambodia. I've got a cute little baby girl named Emily now. And so, now the thing about his sister, she's learning how to speak Khmer also. So that's five languages for her. So anyways, here's one of the churches that Kong started in the village. Little thing that, you know, they meet at their house, but they were in their living room, but she's getting too small. So they built this right here. And, you know, with the church's money, the church there with their tithe and offering, and then we helped out with like about $1,000 as well. So we want them to, you know, do their part. We'll help them out if they, you know, but anyways, let's go on. Here's just some of the teenagers there in that village. Gong said there's 10 Bible college students. We've got two more since then, so there's 12 of them, six guys and six girls. And they're just learning. Here's another village with the dormitory and the house church that those guys are able to build. The school building that you guys saw there on that video, we had to give that up because I'm here in America, and Brother Johnny Esposito is in America, and really no one to oversee that, and so we had to give it up, and we've since moved it to this house church in this village right here. Okay, here is Gong received a phone call and said, "Hey, look, we want to know about Jesus Christ. We heard that he's the only way to get to heaven. Could you come and explain to us what it means?" So this is about 3.5 hours north of where we are. Gong went out there, was able to lead these people to the Lord. And one thing, like I said, you know how they get saved? Proof is they get their idols together. By idol means a lot to them, right? Because there's like their false gods with little g's, right? And they bring it together and they have like a little bonfire. And then Gong would baptize them. Same thing. So this is like another village. So, but you, this young lady right here, her mom passed away when she was like less than a year old. Dad remarried. When she was like 12, 13 years old, somewhere around that time, her stepmom wanted to sell her to the Chinese people for like $600. Think about that, $600. When she was about 13 years old, she was watching some YouTube, whatever, she came across something about Christianity, about the gospel, and she got saved. And when she was 14 years old, she came up with this idea. I'm going to go to the capital city. I'm going to catch me a bus, go to the capital city. I'm going to find me a job, find me a place to stay, and I'm going to find me a church to attend. To make a long story short, she ended up with us. And she's the same age as my daughter, and she had to live with us for a little while until I had to come back to the States, and then she lived with Johnny and Denise Esposito. You know, they loved her like their own daughter. And she has since graduated from Bible college. Now she's working out in the northern part of Laos, helping out with the local church. These are some of the young people she's working out with, right? You know, teaching them the Bibles and teaching them the Hmong, Lao, Thai, and, you know, just helping them out and just trying to be a big sister to them and just loving them. These young people, they need someone to love them. And thank God that, you know, Pachu was able to be there for them. And so here's another. I don't have time to talk about all this stuff. I'm running out of time. This is a church in Thailand that was going down to about zero. The missionary had already left the country. They had a church building. And then when I found out about it, hey, look, we need a place where we can meet, you know, openly without being the potential of being harassed. And so we came to this church building, had our youth conference there. And since then, Pastor Perdit and I have come here, and we started church in 2017. And so now they're up about 40, 50 people every single Sunday now. And so here's just another church plant. You know, some of the Bible college students there. And so, question and answer time, you guys. Pastor, let's take some question and answer time. I'm sure you guys got some questions, right? Brother.
When do you plan to return?
I'm going back April the 6th. It's actually the anniversary. My daughter had a kidney transplant. My wife donated her kidney to my daughter about a year ago. So that's the anniversary of that. I didn't realize that until my family told me about that. So April 6th is the day. Now, Laos is still closed. So I'm hoping and praying, but I'm going to Thailand first. And if Laos does open up, I will hop the board into Laos. But if not, I'm just going to go see two of the works there in Thailand that we've helped establish. By the way, Laos and Thailand, their language are very similar. It's about 75% similar. In fact, 100% of the Lao people, they say, can understand Thai, but the Thai can only understand about 75% of the Lao language. And so, yes, ma'am. No, my daughter is still not 100% yet. And so once she's, my daughter will stay here in America to go to Bible college while my wife and I and our, my my son will head back. Local churches?
Local churches in the United States?
In the United States, yes, sir. On deputation, so right back there.
How much freedom do you have to work with the
world? Okay, technically, they're part of the World Trade Organization, and technically, they're supposed to allow freedom of religion, and but in order to be part of the World Trade Organization, one of the rules is you have to have freedom of religion. So at the federal level, they really cannot do anything, but it's at the local level, the local villages, where the local police and the local chief of the village, they persecute you. And I've known some people who's been in prison, during the pandemic, was in there for about 12 months. And so, and this, you know, he's not an independent Baptist like us, but you know, I've known, he's been to my place and, you know, but he does preach the gospel, you know, the death, burial, and the resurrection and salvation by grace through faith. And, you know, he's been out there and he had, three, 400 people in attendance. And sure, they told him to quit. And he said, no, I can't. You know, Acts 5:29, I'd rather obey God rather than man. Sure enough, they made up rules of like, hey, whatever you talking bad about the government or whatever, and so they locked them up for about a year. And so, okay, any other questions out there? Now, what will happen to me if that does happen to me? What they're going to do, because I'm an American citizen, they're just going to kick me out. But I do have to be afraid for our people. By the way, you might be live streaming past it, which is fine, but I would not put anything online, especially with our people's face in there, because something could happen to them. So now we're hoping and praying that one of these days we'll have freedom, true freedom of religion in Laos. At one point, they were the ninth most persecuted country in the world. I believe they're up to about 24, 25, somewhere around there now. Good. Any other questions out there? Okay, Pastor, I don't think there's any more questions, and so, Pastor.
How many of you learned some things tonight? Pretty amazing, huh? What a great report. Thank you so much for coming, for getting to hear from you tonight. Certainly another area we can pray for. Certainly Laos is a country full of people that are steeped in the Buddhist religion, and like so many cults, they tie it to your heritage and to your family. So to come to Christ means to abandon everything that supposedly is your identity. But the gospel is stronger than that. Praise God for that. Let's all stand together. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Let's all stand up, please. By the way, both of the things passed on the ballot unanimously, the giving for the Ukraine and also for the Grahams, so for Graham and his wife. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, it is so good to just hear tonight about the work in Thailand and Cambodia and Laos. And Lord, we pray for the people there. Lord, we pray for the Christians there that are ministering and serving. Lord, this young man is an excellent example of the fact that you don't have to be old to make a difference. God, he got saved. He got on fire. He went back to his village with a burden, dear God, and there's now a church there. And I thank you and praise you that those examples are before us. I pray that they be a challenge to us as well. We just thank you now in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much.